We see this same contradictory decadence reflected and encouraged in a great deal of modern art and literature of these years, a period known by historians as the Silver Age of Russian culture. For example, in a lot of art and literature, one sees a great deal of what might be called amoral aestheticism, an escapist love of beauty for its own sake, with no concern for prevailing notions of what was decent and moral. Often this amoral aestheticism, this love of beauty and of love, was often very positive and, one might say, appealing, evocation of physical beauty, of passion, of romantic love. One of the most popular poets at the time, especially among the educated, part of this trend, was a poet named Anna Akhmatova, along with other poets who were known as acmeists for their desire to have poetry reach the acme, the height of purity and artisticness. Most of their poems emphasized personal feeling. A fairly characteristic poem of 1911, for example, by Anna Akhmatova, began with the following fairly typical verse. "I wrung my hands under my dark veil. Why are you pale? What makes you reckless? Because I've made my loved one drunk with an astringent sadness." And this emphasis, however perhaps comical it may seem now, this emphasis on love and sadness and reckless daring was very characteristic of a lot of writings and literature and poetry of the time. There's also a darker side to this literature of amoral aestheticism, a fascination with a hedonism, with the joys of physical pleasure, with sexuality, with libertinism, with homosexuality, all very common themes in the literature of the day. Related to this in the art and literature of the time, especially the literature I'm emphasizing at first, one sees what is, might be described as pervasive sensualism, a fascination with the physical, with physical beauty and sexuality. And one very important and influential example of this, though they had to flee Russia, interestingly enough and tellingly, was the very famous Ballet Russe. This was founded in St. Petersburg, in the capital. It involves some of Russia's most important painters and composers and choreographers and dancers. But it had to move to France in 1909, where in fact it was very popular because the French enjoyed seeing the exotic wildness of Russian culture. But it was a Russian phenomenon in all ways. And their ballets, in particular, were filled with sensuality, so characteristic of the culture of the day. And we see this very clearly, for example, in the choreography and the dancing of the very famous dancer and choreographer of the time with the Ballet Russe, Vaslav Nijinsky, whose choreography and dancing was highly sensual, filled with sort of sexual charge, quite obvious when you see these dances. But indeed, the same sensuality is visible in the costumes, which were often quite daring, in set designs, and of course, in the stories. Now, another related theme, decadent theme in the culture, the literature especially at the time, was a fascination with the morbid. Many writers dwelled intensively on what would really be seen as the dark side of human life. Works were filled with images of death, especially suicide. And of course, as you can see, these are echoes indeed of what was going on in the society around them. Stories about murder, stories about slow death from disease were very common. Images of evil were also pervasive in a lot of the popular writing of the time. Stories about demons, stories about Satan himself began to appear, and indeed a whole series of paintings were devoted to the devil at one point. And also dark psychological moods were sort of pervasive in this literature. Characters were having delusions. They were going mad. They were suffering from deep melancholy. They were falling into despair. Now, another somewhat different but no less contradictory sign of the cultural world of fin de siècle Russia, of the years between especially 1905 and 1914, was a movement of artists who called themselves futurists. Now, the name itself gives you an indication of a greater sense of possibility and a hope. And their goal was to subvert the present, to challenge the present in the name of the future. And they did everything they could, sort of in a way, an artistic versions of the hooligans, everything they could to provoke and outrage, to challenge tradition. In fact, the most famous statement of this futurist challenge was a 1912 manifesto by the Moscow futurists, the title alone being revealing. It was described as a slap in the face of public taste.